sure you've got your notes ready. I didn't want to miss the morning teaching because, of course, days like this will remind you of Lancaster House, isn't it? We've got that little room, thank you. We've got that little room in there, and many mornings we've made to just teach. Now, the difference between then and now, I'll tell you, now I entered this place this morning and I'm thinking, oh, please, I was expecting this role, not this role and that role. I'm thinking, oh, please, all these people have a job. This is why we don't have any money. But the difference between then and now is that I see boss and their staffs in the same room now. So I can see Pastor Henry and Akira. I see bosses and their staffs. So
come on.
So it's changing, right? So when it will be CEOs and the whole company, I hope you're still going to be here, right? It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful. And I bet Satan is thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How do you have young people, especially blacks and Friday, waving their Bible on Thursday morning? They are not religious addicts who has been brainwashed, believing that they will soon die and drink a poison and go to heaven. They are progressive, they are young, they are focused, they are hardworking. So I bet you don't give it out notes. Satan is thinking, what is this? What is this? What is this playing out to be? What is this? How do you deal with this? Because you can tilt this way or that way. You can say, well, you know, they're just religious people. They don't have any focus in life. And they're expecting Jesus to return, so they don't do anything with their lives. So, and Satan knows those ones also will not amount to anything. Even though those ones are still more powerful than the millionaires in West End, still, as however weak they are. And so I said all that to say to you that you must not take lightly the things that God commits to your end. More people are still coming. But you just have a job. And so we must not take lightly the things that the Holy Spirit expressly speaks to us about. That's why we know this journey step by step, stage by stage. The Bible says, for precept must be upon precept and line upon line. A little there, a little here. And so what I want to speak to you about this morning, and I'll tell you in a moment why we called it ministers and millionaires. And as fancy as that may sound, in a moment, I will begin to, by the Holy Spirit, expose you and I to the Word, or the Holy Spirit will begin to expose us to the Word. And of course, over time, we've accepted meetings like this where we really have time, and we really don't have time, but we have time better than Sunday morning. Except in meetings like this, God will give us installments in the Word on things that can be concluded on. And so if the Holy Spirit speaks to us like He spoke to us on Sunday, you can walk out of the service with conclusions within the short time, or relatively short time, that we have. The Holy Spirit will, and those words, most times, they come to encourage. They are encouraging words. They are words that prophecy in the New Testament means declaring the mind of God. So it is still the mind of God, but it's encouragement. But then in meetings like this, the Holy Spirit will take us a bit deeper and will make like Sunday and all these other services like a children's service. This is where the hard work is. And this is what I've noticed over the years. So don't see it. Thursday morning. He said, if you watch out for your neighbor and they are dozing on Thursday morning. I I said, guys, something is fundamentally and mentally wrong. You know, fundamentally. So this is what the apple is. You can imagine my task by the Holy Spirit is to take you to the book of Leviticus. So you're already thinking, wow. And I know you're not beating me, you're beating yourself. I don't think it's more about me than you. You're thinking, what? Leviticus. You're even asking, does anyone read that Bible verse? Or do you just read it to fulfill? I've read the whole Bible. Numbers. Deuteronomy is still okay because it's Pentecostal. There's courses, there are things you can use. But what, how do you dissect Leviticus? What is the importance of Leviticus? How does Leviticus work with ministers and millennials? What is Leviticus? I tell you the first truth today. Leviticus is why the church is weak. Not knowing Leviticus is why from now till eternity the church can never rise to the place of power. In Genesis, God created an altar. In Exodus, he asked them to build a sanctuary. In Leviticus, he tells them how the sanctuary was to operate. Let me quickly read some things to you why I think it's important. I want you to stay with me this morning. It's not going to be boring. I'll try my best. It's not going to be boring. But it's going to be boring initially because it has to be. Otherwise, we're just going to be having fun without fun. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. I think someone is thinking, you really mean we're going to do this thing? Where is it? Do we have a Bible reader today? Yeah, well, she's not here. Well, I'm sure someone else understands English. The reading of it. Well, I know what you're avoiding, the weight she takes. Alright? Who's going to be? We need a Bible reader. Yes, ma'am? Okay. Sister Shadi, come. She can take all the insults. Leviticus chapter 1, and I advise you sitting next to the operator here so that you. Because I don't really take time to write down verses and chapters, so you've got to look for it. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, if we can just start with that this morning.
The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock.
Okay, so the word Leviticus comes from the word, excuse me, I'm not Hebrew, so all Hebrew would know better than me when it comes to that. Yakur, it means an ekor. So the word spells W-A-Y-Q-R-A, not Akira. It means and he called. So the way I work with those Hebrew words sometimes is I just I write them in the way I can pronounce it. And he called. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 1. And the Lord called, verse 1. Go back to verse 1 please.
Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent.
The whole book of Leviticus is about two things. Number one is the call. The Lord called and he called. That's what Leviticus means. Another word, Leviticon. That's the foundation of the word Leviticus. Leviticon means, and I love this, and from here you begin to understand where I'm going to go with this. It means servants. You see, the word servants, and I want you to note this down, we're going to proceed on this. The word servant is also the word minister. So, maybe you begin to get the gist of where I'm going with ministers and millionaires. Everything in Genesis, God established theocracy. Theocracy in Exodus, God moved his people to begin to enter into theocracy. In Leviticus, God showed them how theocracy works. In case you're saying, wow, this is going to be terrible. Don't worry about it. I'm sure you've heard the word democracy before.
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you do know democracy is what? You can, I know you can answer that now.
Everyone with a right.
Everyone with a right? Okay. There's a way we say where I came from. It's simple. Government of... Child. Let me just go back to this. Let me just teach you on the psalm. Thank you. So democracy means government of the people, for the people, by the people. That's why when election time comes, they ask you to go and vote, right?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me now.
Yes, sir.
So you go and vote, meaning that the people have the power to choose their leaders. So it is government of the people. So one of you can stand up today and say, I want to be the counselor, like Jay. I want to be the counselor. And then the people will approve of her, and the people will vote for her. So she's part of the people to rule the people. Yes, you know, that was never God's system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the other hand, theocracy is the government of God by God for his people.
Yes.
Never forget that. So in Genesis, God picked a man called Adam. Walked through Adam all the way to Abraham, because of time. And what he was doing with these men is to show them that what he wants to do, there was actually a time that the children of Israel were crying for a king. And the reason why they were crying for a king was that they wanted to be like their neighbors. They said, look at our neighbors, they have a king. When their king is coming, there's a lot of escort, there's a lot of people, and it looks prestigious. Because he operates in the sin. But you see, God wanted to be their unseen ruler.
Yeah.
I want you to stay with me this morning. He wanted to rule them with all his majesty, because man has to always have reliance on that which cannot be seen. If all his reliance is on what can be seen, he can never solve his problem. So it's beautiful, and I respect the former President Barack Obama, and I think he's done very little. For 8 years, I think he did very, very little, as much as he can do anyway. I think five ants, the one we saw in Proverbs, would have done a lot more. And that's me, with due respect. And of course, the very little is done, another redneck racist will come and just rubbish everything, right? So he calls a summit and say, I want all young leaders and da-da-da to come and talk. Well, my guy, what you couldn't do as American president, you cannot do as ex-president. You're not going to do it. We all know the long and short of everything. What would you do? What policy helped the black race when you were president? It's not going to happen. So the world is hopeless. Why? And the reason why I'm saying this is this. Man's ability by himself can never cure man's problem.
Mm.
So God tried to let them see from from Adam, what Adam was going to operate was the theocracy. God, never forget this, when we talk about ministers and billionaires, God established in Genesis theocracy. In Exodus, the people went into exile, they went into bondage, and God brought them out, and then they meet by the end of Exodus, it was teaching them how to build the sanctuary. The sanctuary, don't forget this, the sanctuary will now replace the Garden of Eden. I want you to please stay with me today. The sanctuary will now become the garden. Now, the sanctuary does not have all the gold. I mean, it's got gold built in it, but people built gold in it, unlike the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, it was natural. Gold was there. And the four rivers, from River Pishon to all these rivers, four rivers actually, and everything was there. God was ruling over Adam, like Reverend said on Tuesday, until Adam willfully submitted that authority. So the battle in life, one of the first battles, whenever you hear the word minister, whenever you hear the word minister, you hear the word servant. And now you cannot be a servant without serving. There's no servant with their own mind. I'm going somewhere this morning. So, because what a servant then becomes is he operates under theocracy. So, you know what happens? When you come into Christ, you are a servant of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me now.
Yes, sir.
But the issue now is, we are servants of God who also now obey this world system. What is the opposite of holiness? Now, this is going now ahead of myself. What is the opposite of holiness? It's not a test question. If you answer it and you still don't know, the worst is I'll call you a joker. So don't worry about people. That's how to get people to be bold. But seriously, what is the opposite of holiness? Powerful. You can't go wrong with that. Separation?
Huh?
Wonderful. It's Zuriel, the manager, director, whatever this guy is. We were actually voting for whose picture will be on FT yesterday. So it was going to be one of the onions, but I said, Lord, don't let him pick up the phone if it's not, if they are not destined to be. Then he didn't pick up. I said, oh, okay. Never picks my phone. Does he pick yours too? No, he doesn't. Does he pick yours? No. So, what is the opposite of holiness? Huh? Depravity, powerful English. I don't know what it means. So how can I say no to someone I don't know? Something that I just know, depravity, deprived for in this area. Well, don't worry about it. Well, I'm gonna tell you in 2019. Okay, that's very bishopric. let's allow the Bible to help us this morning. So don't forget, first thing we've got to establish. Leviticus, again, as you would imagine, Leviticus, Levite, servants. So I cannot be the servant of a man who believes in theocracy and operates under democracy. Already, that means that system will not benefit me because I'm not under his rulership. I'm not under his kingdom. And so, what the devil doesn't want to rule your life. He wants you to rule yourself. It's not after ruling your life and becoming your God. And so, you see those people worship Satan. No, no, no. He just needs you to worship you. That's why you see that anger, you have democracy.
Wow.
So you can now, you see why the name minister will be useless in front of your name. the name pastor will be useless in front of him. The name whatever will be useless in front of him if it is not real theocracy. It is called democracy. It's government of the people, by the people, for the people. It is your government. You decide what to do, when to do it, how to be for you. Ministers are millions. And until God is true with that in my life, I'm not going to smell anything. God is blessing. It's not possible. If you're not walking in His blessing yet, it's because that area is not true yet. It's not more like, you know, Christians, I've heard this all my life. I don't know what is going on in my life. Open the Bible, sister. It's either you are in theocracy or democracy. Democracy, never forget, is man's rulership over himself based on whatever he deems fit. Never forget, is this what I say in this conference, which is not going to be. Never forget, Satan does not want to rule you. He told Adam and Eve, or Eve first, whoever, he said, if you eat it, he didn't say, if you eat it, I will have knowledge. He didn't say, if you eat it, I will become powerful. He already knows his own limitation and his own glory. He said, if you eat it, you will become powerful, you will have knowledge, and you will be like God. But you see, the guy knew that what got him into this bad position now was that he wanted to be like God. So he already knows that man will always want to be like God. He knows it's on the inside of them. So who is a man that is God? I told you before, it can never be that Satan will come to Jesus and tell Jesus, worship me. Satan can never do that. He's more knowledgeable than that. And he knows who Christ is. So all he needed to do was to tell Christ when to worship. That's the first start of poverty. You know, the days when you came to church and you're not just as enthusiastic as you used to be. You're just down to the ends of hand. They're praying, they're worshiping, but you're like, yeah, Lord. And Satan said, don't worry about it. You have the right to be like that. At least you came. And he even gave you scriptures. Then he reminded you of another sister or brother that you've not been seeing in church. He said, at least you are not like that. He said, you came. It tells you, you see, in the midst of all your problems, you are still here. But he only tells you, don't get excited with me. Just raise the hand, but just like this. Just do it like this. He said, with all that is going on, you are trying. You understand? He said, with everything going on around you, I said, well, it is now that I know that I have the Holy Spirit. I said, how? He said, before, if that happened to me, I would have got a wire. But now, I just said a few things. No, it is still Satan's kingdom, still. It's either his light or darkness. So, when in that third temptation, what Satan told Jesus was, worship your God, but do it before me. The Bible records that, though. Different accounts, one said, he said, worship me. That cannot be true. But the other one, thank God, said, worship your God, but do it on my terms. Do it on my terms. So this sister or brother voted for themselves as having passed in their religious war, because he said, I didn't react like I used to react, even though I reacted. Satan said, that's okay. Well, you know, the problem with those reactions is that the next time it's not going to get better, it flips. Now he reminds you, he said, you see the last time that you said that? You see, I was calm. Well, not this time around. Today I will face you. So, you see, the last sacrifice, you just took it back. And Satan knew that's how it works. Just eat a little of this fruit, as long as it's motivated. I'm coming somewhere, because we'll soon get to Leviticus rather. And I will show when the ministers in the Bible says that when the ministers came out of the holies of holies, he said, and they blessed the people. He said, and the glory of the God of Israel appeared, and a fire came down from the presence of God. In the next verse, another fire came, but this fire was to kill Nadab and Abihu, who had brought a strange fire before the Lord. They worshipped on their own terms. They kindled their own fire. It's a terrible thing. But let me try and see if we can just see why Leviticus is important. So never forget that Exodus ends with the construction of the tabernacle. Leviticus tells us worship that takes place in the tabernacle. Exodus, I repeat, tells us it ends with the construction, what the tabernacle must be. Now, in Exodus, you got born again. You left Egypt. You came to the Lord. You surrendered your life to Jesus. You, whatever church you got born again at. But when you came to Spark, it begins to honor you, because many churches that get people born again do not have Leviticus. They just want us to stay with Exodus. Construct a tabernacle, which means this is going to be the dwelling place of God. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Most High God who lives in you? Do not sin. And those things are true. But they conclude many, you know, in the whole of the Bible, most churches that I know entered Exodus. Where you see the full stop in the construction of the tabernacle, that's where churches end. So you see, you were famine, you were born again, you were looking for God and all those things. But you see, Exodus ends with construction of a tabernacle, of a living place. Some of you, by the time you stay too long in the construction, you even went back to Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the earth was without form and shape. You reverse. Boom. Why? Because once there is no Leviticus, I don't know what takes place in the place of worship. What is worship? So I realize that pastors begin to scramble. What do we do next? And they feel that what to do next is just get them service duties. Join the ushering. Now join the choir. And you know what then happens? You can join the choir at age 20, and at 60, you're still there. You're there. Nothing is happening. Life is not working out well. You're not doing exploit. You're not touching the nations. But the church is designed that way. And the problem is, it will even be a good church or so that will even make you to still be there. For them, they will soon spill you out. If other people come, you're going. So you will even have to be very strong to be there 40 years after. Because you're supposed to have moved on. But I asked the pastor, into what though? Into what? Because I spent my whole youth life in church. So what am I going to do now? And church never taught me about business, never taught me about mentorship, never handed over fellowships to mentor to me. So what am I going to do? So I realized most people are still there because they don't even know what to do next. What am I going to do? And so a bishop of a church is bishop of that church for 40 years. He's just also still there. In his lifetime, he can't hand over to anybody. No way. Or even white people can do that. Black people? No way. No way. Why? Because they also don't understand that there is more to do. There's more to do. But it is in Leviticus that we know that there is more to do. So have you got time this morning for us to go through it? Is Leviticus, are you regretting not reading Leviticus? So by the time I'm through, you would want to go and sit down with Leviticus. But don't become cheap. Radicals now. with stuff, you know. So you know what I realized is that it is just tea leaving. Like a root. That's the end of giving down. But it makes a lot of sense. Genesis begins with creation. Exodus begins with bondage. Leviticus begins with sacrifice. Never forget this, please, I beg of you. I will. Please, I'm begging you as millionaires and ministers. If you feel like you want to sleep, just stand up and walk around. I beg you, please don't miss this. Genesis begins with creation. Exodus begins with bondage. Leviticus begins with sacrifice. I'm going to show you some that in Leviticus, God made the order of what a nation state must sacrifice. And in it, there are five types of offering. Just like Jesus was pierced in five places. And there are five levels of grace. I'll show you five types of offering in Leviticus. I'll show you. Genesis begins with creation. Exodus begins with bondage. Leviticus begins with sacrifice. That's one. Two, Genesis depicts the rise of God's people. I'm sure you will catch up with notes eventually or with tapes, but the notes is also good. Just write it in brief, and I do hope you go back to listen to the tape. This may be a 2-hour long journey. Depict the rise of God's people, that's Genesis. Exodus tells of the redemption from Egypt. Exodus tells of redemption from Egypt. But look at Leviticus. Leviticus sets forth the rituals of worship and holiness. Two things you'll find in Leviticus. You can just put it this way, the rituals of worship and holiness. Believe me, Leviticus is difficult to teach, but thank God for commentaries, YouTubes. But seriously, now, rituals of worship and holiness, that's what Leviticus does. Genesis, I love this one. Genesis tells us about origins of the nation. Please never forget that. The origin of the nation. So without these teachings, I cannot then talk to you about Spark Nation. Genesis tells about the origin of the nation. You remember Abraham? I will make you the father of all nations. That's the origin of the nation. Exodus, the deliverance of the nation. What we're celebrating, like Pastor Shandia led prayer this morning, is going to be the deliverance of more people from the nation when our eyes are enlightened. When we come to know that really, if we bond together, we can take the world. I was thinking about terrorism and all this stuff the other day, and have you noticed that almost everybody that you hear in terrorism, they are in their 20s. Everything is 20s. The guy who just killed people in America now, sadly so, 20, whatever. It's 20s. It's so, the blood of the 20s and the 18s are so needed, it's unbelievable. I don't know why the church neglects this, though. It's sickening. How does the church see programs like Youth Revival and say, yeah, you know, guys, you have to shut it down? How? Why? They are too jumpy. It doesn't look like the church of order and the order of church. You don't set order in anything that is not disorderly first. And people come to me and say, oh, be like SS Church or like IGBC church or da 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 da. Said, okay, that's order. You like the order? I said, no, I've got to create this order first. Mm. But you see, Leviticus, so don't forget this, origins of the nation, Genesis, Exodus, deliverance of the nation, but Leviticus is the life of the nation. Because when you begin to read Leviticus, you will see that it was in Leviticus that God set the order of how everybody must behave. If a person owes a person money, how they must pay back is in Leviticus. So how did we form church without understanding Leviticus? God began to tell us that we never really formed the church. We formed a democracy. Government of the people. I'll tell you, 80% of pastors spend their time settling quarrels. Only in Spark do I ask, are they fighting? Did they beat each other? They say no. I say, ha ha ha. They're not fighting then. Fight. You really think we'll come so low and your pastor is going to sit and say, hey, what did Obi do to Onye? I don't care what you do to each other. Stab each other. That's what they call knife crime. Whatever you want to do. If you hate each other that much, kill each other. But if you don't hate each other that much, then shut up and work with each other. When you hate somebody in the world because fight belongs to the world, you kill them. Because that's what the world does. They eat each other. They finish each other. But don't come here pretending as if you're fighting when you're not ready to kill her. You're just looking for attention. And you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. I'm going to say that. I used to do that. I'll never do it again. Oh, so-and-so is that girl with so-and-so. Say, yeah, they should. When one is dead, we'll do the burial. Pastors sit down instead of opening the Bible to read the word, they are settling quarrels. Oh, okay, what happened? And then all of a sudden we began to believe that it is pastor's duty. But I told people, I didn't see in Ephesians 3, he said when he ascended on high, he gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, for the maturing of the saints. I didn't see that settling quarrel was part of it. I didn't see that so that when Angelina and Angelina, when they fight, so that they may settle the quarrel that happened between both of them. I didn't know that was there. So when someone told me it's part of the duty of pastor, I said, okay, that's fine. This is Ephesians 3. Yeah, write it there. Write it there so that they can remove your name from the book of life. Yeah, because the Bible says anyone who adds to it, isn't it? Okay, and I can't tell you how much that damages a pastor because you have to then become very, 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 very strong liar. It's not, what can you do? You don't want to, this person must not feel bad, this person must not feel bad. So we do that when we're younger, of course. And as for the ship leaders, you've got to be diplomatic. Another word for diplomacy is you've got to lie. You've got immunity. Okay, you might say no. Well, I wish you best of luck. In Genesis, theocracy was born. That's what I was trying to say. In Genesis, God picked Adam. Adam messed up, and you see, it went back to Noah. And have you always noticed that when God wants to recreate the earth, he will pick a man and ask them to build their own little corner first. That's what he did with Adam. When Adam was supposed to take over the earth, he built a garden for him. That garden, should Adam not have messed up, the garden should have grown bigger and bigger till it covers the whole earth. But he messed up, fine. Then he called Noah, right? Noah was asked to build an ark. Build a place where what operates here is different from what operates in the world. Now, that's why he created the church, Ecclesia. Now, guess what happened to the church again? The church, for some reason, then brought the world back. That boat is going to sink. There was a job called so frustrated, they don't know that you've got to be different from the world in order to save the world. So they became the same. In the bid to attract the world, then they became the world. Do you understand that? So, entrepreneurship or business is still for the church, but it must be done God's way with God's foundation first. Because theocracy, the rulership of God, does not edit or take out business and professionalism. But it must not be the pillar upon which the church is built. Do you understand that? So, whereas comedians are not wrong, you know, you can go to a comedy show, go pay, but I don't think comedians should come before the preaching of the word and come talk about all manner of joke. And I'm thinking, what's funny with these, you know? And of course, you know, Nigerian church will embrace anything. They will embrace a lizard as their general overseer. It doesn't. I'm quoting the word of Professor Wadesho, and I said, proportion to population, Nigeria has the highest level of imbeciles. I quote his word. Proportion to population. It's a Nobel laureate winner, so. Yeah, okay. I'm not saying that I agree, but. So in Genesis, theocracy was born, but in Leviticus and Exodus, theocracy was established. It's the establishment. It's more like in Exodus and Leviticus, God was saying, look, it's either this or nothing. It's like God was saying that all through generation, I will keep looking for people who can submit themselves to me for me to rule them. And if I find people, I will use them to show the world. You know, our calling, brethren, is to show the world that there is a God in heaven.
Yes.
Not to become the world. And if that's going to happen, we're all going to have to determine for as long as it takes. The theocracy is never, and that's why the church is a problem. Theocracy is never man asking God about what to do. That's why I disagree with the teaching of faith. It's in theocracy, you don't tell the king what you must look like and how you must be. The king tells you what you must be like. In democracy, people will say, this is our right. This is what we must be. This is what must happen. And in 2017, there are still teachings. People are still leading prayers on those free channels. Still needing prayers. Oh yes. About God must move. God must move. God must. I stumbled on one on Periscope. He said, we're gonna take back. And you know, my problem with that is that since I was born, people have been taken back, but they never took anything back. The only thing that happens is that they are taken back. So I'm thinking in 2017, someone is still saying, we gotta take it back. I want you to rise up and take it back. And my God, you are the one that is taking a back. You're not taking nothing. The devil is just there laughing at those prayer points. I'm going to the enemy's camp. But yeah, I know you went, but you didn't come back, my God. I'm gonna take back. But it's been 2 years now we're looking for you, sister. You didn't come back. People are still needing those prayers. The kingdom does not work like that. The kingdom is a theocracy. When when the disciples of Jesus came to him, they asked him, look, of course, we are in church. That prayer meant, teach us, oh God, how to pray. But you see, Aramaic, Hebrew said, teach us how to communicate in this kingdom of which you speak. He said, teach us how to communicate with the king. So he said, when you communicate with the king, say it this way, our Father. You see, in a kingdom, the king is not just a king as much as he's a father as well. What makes him a father is that his ideology is how every child in that kingdom behaves. They walk like him, they speak like him, they eat like him. That's the difference between a kingdom and a democracy. Their whole ideal is the king. The way they honor their life is according to the king. It's not being the magnitude of the king, but it's according to the king's word. They live on verdict, not on election. And so, but in this realm, it's not king. Everybody has their own mind. Some are labor, some are conservative. So someone will come. Have you ever noticed how much of disagreement is in the world? It's unbelievable. So a man who says he's a terrorist, I don't say it's a mental problem. No, I say it's a religious problem. He just believes that, you see, all these, our sisters, beautiful sisters that we see around, he just believes, why are they not covered in hijab? See, God doesn't like this. He says, the Western way is terrible. People are sitting outside having their cup of champagne and all that. He says, God doesn't like this. What am I going to do? And then he surrenders his life and says, God, use me. I says, go get in shock now. Yeah. And then he kills people saying, God is great. God is great. God is great. As far as he's concerned, he has done. If I ever like Donald Trump, it would be because we need terrorists dealt with ruthlessly. As in, some of them just grab the neck and squeeze to death. Once Obama will be talking to them and say, the new change agenda is coming, the guy saying, let me catch you. You know, we need change, and the guy say, yeah, let me catch your children. There will be the change agenda. You know, I think Donald Trump, if he has his way, he will personally himself strangle. Hold them down. And strangle them. Theocracy is God's way. Now, man also then perverted theocracy to autocracy. So you have so-called, and I've always said this, democracy will never from now to eternity work in Africa. It doesn't make any sense. A white man cannot come to another man's land and tell you this is how you must live your life. So when white man wants to do his own democracy, he will go on television like the woman that is called the prime minister right now, and then anybody, they will go when they're debating and they will hug you. And that other rough guy will never, he's not going to be the prime minister. Come on, man. What are you talking about? Yeah. One of the sheriffs, one of the... What are you talking about? The fact that you can spill rubbish does not mean that, oh, yeah, and of course, anyway, let me just leave that now. Just simply don't have leadership in this country as of yet. What was I going to say before that now? Autocracy. So, autocracy is a place where, and this is not the dictionary definition, this just means, a place where a person is just autocratic. It doesn't care about people, it just is now, this is where we're going. Boom, bam. It doesn't care about people. It's not considerate of others. It just does what it needs to do. Whereas, you see, as much as theocracy can look like that, theocracy still allows, come, let us reason together. Did you see that in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Theocracy still made God say, shall I do a thing without telling my friend Abraham? Autocracy will only be one man doing everything. Theocracy raises people to be representatives. Do you understand that? It gives them equal power to operate in smaller dimensions, but with leadership. Leviticus gives us the historic background of the remainder of the Bible. It is Leviticus that gives us that. And I'm so start showing you some of the things from that. Leviticus is the one that shows us the historic background of every other passage in the Bible that we're going to read. So I'm still just welcoming you, though. It establishes such principles as redemption and sacrifice. We cannot understand redemption without Leviticus. How we were bought out and why. Now, you're soon going to say why we give. Why we give money. There's some, I'm even wanting to go ahead of myself to show you why we give money, why we give, which in those days would be rams and goats. And I am asking from Minister Nikki and Minister Christo.
Yes, come on.
It teaches us about worship. I'm planning to go to my doctor this week and move on him like a nigger. I've been thinking, should I say that in church or not? But this is going back with you. And so what are you going to say? I'm just going to say, declare me now alopecia. I'm just thinking how much money Minister Nikki is making from all this. I'm going to want the guy like a nigga. God, declare me now. Says no, yours is just we're not parents to bow. This is what pastor says, you know, move on the doctor like a nigga. Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking about it. This lady is making a lot of money from this stuff. I'm just going to go there and say, look, guy. I would even print the letter from home. Just sign and stamp. I said, what are you going to do with it? No, I may need it in the future. What if this job thing don't work? What am I going to do next? I don't have plan B. That's my plan B. So, Leviticus 1 to 7 talks about the laws of offering. 8 to 10 talks about the laws of the priests. 11 to 15 talks about the laws of purity. 16 talks about the Day of Atonement. Very important. 17 to 20 talks about laws of holiness. Yeah? 21 to 22 talks about the law of the priests again. 23 to 25 talks about, I love this, rituals, appointed times. Oh my God. If you don't understand appointed times from Leviticus, as you grow, you will have people telling you, yeah, your pastor is a good preacher, but you have to go and pray more. You know, you're not married. You need to pray the bondage of marriage. So, not the bondage of marriage. The bondage of not marrying. Which later you want to break the other one too, though. Most times, except if you stay, it's for pleasure. I told you the other day in Tulsi of Croydon, why do I know that marriage in Spark Nation will work? Very simple. Because I will talk anyhow to both couples. You understand? It's not going to be talk of decorum at all. It's going to be very demeaning. And I gave you an example with Pastor Shadi and Pastor. You're the oldest married couple here, so it's going to be you. Who do I want to use as example? What? Even sitting together, I'm almost getting at you. It's like a Ghanaian comes from, 23 to 25 talks about appointed times. 26 to 27 talks about penalties and vows. So I'll start again. One to seven talks about the laws of offering, and that's what I'm going to major on this first section because it's so important. Laws of offering, 1 to 7. Laws of the priests, 8 to 10. We've got to get to that at some point today. If we don't finish that today, 11 to 15, laws of purity. Chapter 16, Day of Atonement. 17 to 20, laws of holiness. 21 to 22, laws of the priests. There is a law that governs, again, that's a repeat, so 8 to 10 is still law of the priests. But 21, it comes back to expand on 21 to 22 about the laws of the priests. 23 to 25, appointed times. The rituals of appointed times. How do I know the seasons in my life and why I'm sowing from this angle in this season? It's in Leviticus 23 to 25. And then 26 to 27 is penalties and vows. If you didn't get it this time, just go back to the tape, please. Now, my aim is not to teach you everything on it. My aim is to let you... I think once you hear it like this, the next time you open it to read it, it becomes easier, right?
Yeah.
So it's not going to be... Already you know, if you open it by yourself, you are thinking, this is my sleeping pill.
Yeah.
But seriously, it can be. If you really want to sleep and you're suffering from insomnia, put in numbers and before verse 3 we will see your ancestors. Don't come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I'm seeing my grandfather in my chest. What's wrong with that? Is he my grandfather? If you are seeing your grandfather, I missed you. Show me the truth. Start delivering you from sin, your own grandfather. Is it my grandfather you saw? Now, listen now. The big thing in Leviticus is this issue of holiness. That's the big topic then. Being one with God. Now, let me tell you the opposite of holiness. Listen to this now. It's common. Yeah. If something is not holy, it is common. The opposite of holiness is not impure. There are pure things that are common. Uh-huh. So, a person may not be a fornicator, but it doesn't make them holy. It makes them pure, but they are still common. For I've seen occultists who abstain from sexual stuff for certain things, because that didn't make them holy. So if all my life in church, I've been holy as a fact, in the pastor's head, don't smoke, don't drink, and don't fornicate. It's everything in his head. It is meaningless. So you begin to see state by state why we are powerless. Our idea of these things are wrong, fundamentally wrong. Okay, so let's read the Bible, right? Leviticus, now you can read on, sister.
Verse 3.
Yes, ma'am.
If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him.
He shall kill the bull before the
You know what we should do because of time? Jump to chapter 11, verse 45. Let me see if that can still keep us within time.
For I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
Okay, so this is it. The word holiness, which also comes from the root word orderliness. Now, you don't set order for the sake of setting order. Order is set according to somebody's standard. What we call order. So, you can come into my room and my bed faces this way. Yeah? And facing the bed is another bed. And then there are four beds. And you come in and say, this is not order. I say, says who? Because it's my room. So a person jumps into my room and begins to rearrange things. Then I come in and say, what's up? Said, I'm setting order. Said, according to whose standard? Said, no. When I was in America, these are rooms are. Said, that's fine. But that's in America. If your life runs out of the will of God, you are unholy. And then you become common. Because the order is set in your life. This is why churches are the most dangerous places to go to. The pastor will overeat one night. Come on a Sunday or one Monday, whatever time these people meet in their coven. Come and say, you know what, today all those who are barren here, come out. I want to heal your barrenness. Imagine Sarah was in the service. Imagine Elizabeth was in the service. Imagine Anna was in the service. So now the problem with Anna, Elizabeth, and Sarah is that Josephine and Angelina got pregnant, but they didn't. And so Anna goes home saying, something is wrong with me. And Satan says, exactly. Don't you see what really happened? You see, they are all pregnant. They don't even live right like you do, and they are all now fine. And Satan says, you've got what to do. And you see, when Satan says you've got what to do, he won't tell you start fasting. He won't start by telling you start sinning. He said, go on 7 days fast. He's testing. He just wants to exercise authority. And you say, I feel a leading. But you see, the leading comes from where it comes from. I feel a leading to go fast for 7 days. Where we are going, what leading? There's no leading. Satan is testing his authority. It's not in a hurry. And the 7 days don't end. Then he changes his voice. Say, what's wrong with this God? Say, don't worry. Try now. Now, what I want you to do is to separate yourself, go to a mountain and pray. That's what he does. That's his job. It is foolhardy for the church to think that Satan actually, Reverend said on Tuesday, to actually think he tempts you to sin first. He just wakes up and says, go fornicate. No, that's your own habit. It doesn't even come to play until you want to renounce it. And so it comes. And say, you know what? He exercises authority and says, yeah, if you can follow him to pray and fast. You think Satan is afraid of fasting? Really? He's not afraid of your fasting. He's not afraid of prayer. That's why you've got to be very careful about church, because you can hear anything. So I'm going to show you something. And so he begins to trick this sister to believe all manner of things. And the sister, the brother, forgets that in this kingdom is set order. He's the one that's going to set the order for my life. So what people call this order is what makes me uncommon. Melodians and ministers, listen to me. To be holy is to be uncommon to the world. To not be holy is to be common before the presence of God. So he told them, you see, there are certain utensils, certain cups within the holies of holies that common people must not use. The Christian journey, I'm telling you, ministers, now, it's a lonely path. You don't go about listening to everybody just because they gave birth to you. Never. This is not a mother loving father hugging conference. This is the word of God. Jesus made it clear to you. It's either you accept it or not. Anyone who will follow after me must deny this first. And I told you before, in order to love them better, you must deny first. Otherwise, Satan will use them in a powerful dimension. Powerful dimension. I told someone before, you are a mighty instrument in the hand of the devil. Mighty instrument. Powerful one. To the world, but not to me, though. So, God said, let's read that 45 again, please.
For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
You shall therefore be uncommon. For I, the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, am uncommon. Look at churches today. Everybody is common. Every church looks like the next church. And what God wants to do is to raise a holy church. But, I mean, till now, when you hear holy church, what comes to your head? A church where there's no fornication. Do you think we really can live a disciplined life like the guys who leave UK, the comfort of UK, to go fight for ISIS in Syria? You think we can match up with those kind of guys? How? But that's not our own holiness. So we see that after all many years of holiness, the church is still as irrelevant. I think Reverend was saying this so powerfully on Tuesday. I just wrote in my note, the church, from what I was hearing him say, I just said the church is dead, finally. I don't know what to write anymore. I first wrote sleeping. I said the church is sleeping because I was afraid of Jesus Christ. I'm thinking, though, I don't want him to think. I just said, finally dead. But thank God Jesus raised Lazarus after 4 days of death, right? So the opposite of holiness is commonness. Pure or impure can still be common. Something that is pure or impure can still be common. Holy is out of that category. Holy does not meddle in the category of something is pure and da 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 da. No, no, no. Holy just means that it is separated from the Father's use. So I understand my life better, and I can't compare with the life of somebody else because it is uncommon. If you don't know these things, friends, we really don't understand Christianity or this journey. So you see what will happen if you don't know it, is that you will always be up and down. Today you are happy if things are working. Tomorrow if it's not working, you say, oh man. Not really, okay. You say more than that. You blame the church. You blame. I've seen people blame their pastor before. I went to sit to a quarrel, a pastor and a congregation. Yeah, because the congregation was leaving the church, and the pastor don't want it to leave, and he knows that she will listen to me more. So after a lot of pressure, I said, okay, let us meet up. I told you before, I just said, come on, man. When will So I went to settle. And I said, what did your pastor do? I said, well, he doesn't pray for me enough. I said, you need to pray for him a lot. Pray for her. It's usually her. I said, pray for her a lot. He said, he doesn't pray for me a lot. And even when he prays for me, there are certain things he doesn't say. I advise so, but it's not going to work. So I didn't know what to say. So I said, okay, what do you want him to be saying? Then she said it. He said, okay, can you please be saying those things? The pastor said, okay, sir. And we said to the choir, and she didn't leave the church. The next time I heard, the pastor had said, in the dew of the night, she should go and receive the dew of heaven in a bell. You know those dews. So she now receives the dew of heaven. So I said, sir, when did you start the dew of heaven? He said, it is you that said. I said, me. You're going to hell, not me. It's got nothing to do with me. God, you know it's got nothing to do. Never. You guys are going to hell on your own. Not following you there. I didn't tell you to start anointing oil or drinking or taking the dews of heaven in the midnight in the bell. I'm thinking that's good punishment for, because you see, the problem with dews and bell is that it's iron, it will melt, so you're going to be there for a long time. They've been praying on dews of heaven. Say a few things. I think the pastor said, okay, you want special prayer? Okay. But I said to him, you would tell people someone to go and take, will you sleep as well? Because they'll have to call you. He said, I don't sleep, we'll pray. Well, I'm registering it. I'm not going to hell with you guys. I didn't say it. I just even came to put my mouth where I shouldn't put my mouth. You know? Now let's get into this and see if we can. Whoa. Chapter 1 and 5 of Leviticus talks about various kinds of offering. And it talks about various things as well, like one, the principle of a gift. A gift as principle. Listen to me very carefully. God has never done anything. I think we saw that in the New Testament as well, without offering and gifts. Until I began to understand Leviticus, I didn't understand why. I'll tell you why shortly. The principle of the gift. The second thing that you find in Leviticus is the principle of a debt. Then it told me, you know, when sin is coming, actually, no, let me not go ahead of myself, that's for 2019. Then the principle of a substitute. I pray we'll have time today to really break down what these principles are. The principle of a substitute. You know, it starts written in scripture, however bad this may sound, it's not bad, because it says, I will use someone else to replace your life. You know it's in the Bible, right? It's there. And see, God is looking at Alex. What I'm trying to say, they will not use the same believer who are in purpose. There are many unbelievers, dead cops outside there. An unbeliever is not worth more than a chicken. I don't care if it's a billionaire, a Bill Gates, or Bill Doe, or whatever. An unbeliever is an unbeliever. It doesn't mean anything. Anytime you meet a man who cannot take a billion to eternity. You know you are the only people who have money in eternity. Oh yes. You can go and cure 1 billion malarias. It doesn't mean anything if it has no contribution into eternity. Because you see, malaria can only kill the body. Anyway, the principle of a substitute. And then finally, I love this one. Do you know that the Leviticus establishes the principle of a healed relationship? Healing. Leviticus establishes how people should heal from a relationship. Everything that has to do with the nation's life. Emotion, financial, sin offering, everything. So the number 5 thing you find in Leviticus is the principle of a healed relationship. You know, when we first started to pastor and I started to emphasize a lot about the word, the people ask me, you know, it's a lot of talk. Word. You know, let some power come down. And I'll never change the place of power. Don't misunderstand me. The power of God is important. But I'm saying, do you know that Satan doesn't use power on people? Do you know his word? Yes. Step out of here now, he starts speaking. Yes. It is word 24/7. Have you ever tried to sleep before and your head started to talk?
Yes.
Yeah? It just goes and it talks many relevant things.
Yes.
I told you before, you can kneel down praying and your mind just says, oh. Kebab. You know, something random, something ridiculous, something irrelevant. You just pray and you just saw those rat meat and kebab bread. Have you ever felt bad? Like, ow! Don't be ow! Where did that come from? And groaning and interceding, and all of a sudden, boom, you just remembered how someone looked at you in church. Boom, from nowhere. I don't even want to talk of worse things, but you know. It happens to you. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because I'm a human being. That used to be terrible, but now. If that comes, I have to stand up and say, well, God, I'm going to go eat. That's what I can't bother. Say, oh, but won't God be angry? No, if he did protect me from that, that's what God did. It's okay. So, those 5 principles. Now, but you see, those principles are important, and I do pray that God will give us the chance in December to take those principles one by one, like the principle of a gift, the principle of a debt. We've been talking about debt, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die. He explains so powerfully in Leviticus that what I was trying to say on Periscope yesterday, my billion is in my thousand. My billion is not in the next meeting. The next meeting is just the sequel. Oh yeah, there are people running helter skelter for meeting. No, if that's how life works, I would have scheduled myself on 50 meetings a month. That means 50 billion. But you know it doesn't work that way. How many meetings have ever materialized? No. So my billion is really in the thousand that I have. So, and I told you yesterday, the problem with most people is that they accumulate seed in order to have harvest. So what I keep in my pocket or in my bank account is accumulation of seed. They say, the world says, let me, if a person is a billionaire, he became a billionaire so that the number of poor people in this world will reduce. But this guy sits on it. You know that's their transportation to hell. What is in their bank account, what they call assets and houses everywhere that they serve on, is souls.
is human beings. You didn't get that money without humans. It's supposed to come from humans to humans. So a person who decided to be poor out of laziness or whatever, the rich is supposed to take from them and rechannel that money to change so that there will be souls won. That's consistent. So Lord, I don't want to have in my shoe a soul. Some people are walking on blood and say, look at my looks. It is blood you are wearing, my friend. Blood. That's someone's blood right there. When he asks you to deny yourself of food, just remember, when you're eating that food and it's sweet, you're eating blood. Damn, 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 damn. Give me God's meat, blood, human blood. You just let on your soul, bam. And no, not his own name. I can't use someone's name at the end of the day. I don't notice I'm struggling with his name. So what am I going to do now? Still with Charles. Maybe because he texts me this morning saying that quickly I have to run to a meeting that I set up for. And it's about, and I'm sure my reply was, I've got to run there and I'll join you. I said, I don't care about the meeting. Don't miss when I start preaching. So for that reason, I'll use only as the name for today. So the guy is wearing things, living in, and that doesn't, so does that mean now that we're going to walk naked and not have shoes like the ceremonial church of stuff? Does that mean that's what we're going to do? No. It just means that because it's theocracy. So before I buy that shoe, there's a lot of meditation. And you see, if I feel unease in my heart, I say that's a soul. I've just converted. Because it's either going to one soul or the other if it gets to limiting, and it's going to a soul as well if it's a gate. Look, there are people in our days, maybe that's what still happens. In our days, when R. Kelly comes out and he begins to sing about sexual stuff, an atmosphere comes down. Now, it took us time to know that he's a pervert. No. Have you read the news lately? Is it true? If you see what this guy does with women. But you see, it may be funny. It may be funny, but I'm telling you what. God gave him that power to command an atmosphere. Is that worshiping performs behind closed door? It's a Nephilim God for sexual mountain. So you have that sin in your house, just demons begin to face and the out of men will begin to move. If you read what this guy does with women, he's a sick bastard son of a bastard. He's sick. He's sick. He's demented. You wonder why you can sit in front of Hollywood and men and women are passing advances and your heart begins to grow, not to get vulgar. Wow. Because you have the wise things there. These are perverts. These are demented people. These are people that are not well. Now, some of your sisters, I think, let me not mention her name, which might be Fumi. She was mentioning the other day, there are many Fumis in the world, there are many Fumis in ITV. She said 98% of the men in the newsroom are gays. Everybody's gay. So if I say how to even look for a straight guy, like, okay, what's up with you? I'm gay. Anyway. So you understand when I teach you about the Nephilims, what is happening in the world. Look, that's why it will take us a fight to penetrate. Don't be like, well, I've saw yesterday, nothing is happening. No, you're coming against some hard stuff. These men are demented. You see, in the world, the richer they get, the more stingy they become. Rich men are so stingy. Forget all those newspapers, and gave 1 billion to blah, 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 blah. It's unbelievable. Well, then he calls us to now 5 types of offering: burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, sin offering, and guilt offering. I'll say it again. And I'm going to stay with burnt alone because of time. Burnt offering, grain offering. I love the grain offering so much because it is the reason why you can tell most senior pastors that Cain's offering did not need blood in it. Peace offering, sin offering, and guilt offering. Chapter 6 and 7 talks about the priest, and maybe afternoon session we'll get into this. I'm going to try and see if I can stop for one. Why 5 different sacrifices? If they represent Christ. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 20, we'll see the first burnt offering. In Genesis 22 verse 2, Isaac was also supposed to be a burnt offering. Abraham was supposed to kill him and burn him up to God, to be completely consumed by fire. You know, read Leviticus 1:3 again. This is going to get interesting. Verse 3.
If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish.
Okay. Now, did you see any male all through scripture offered as a sacrifice without blemish? Did you see anyone? Yes, no? Thank you. Yeah, Jesus was offered. He's a male without blemish. Yeah? Can I ask you a question? What does the sacrifice of Jesus stand for us? That's the question I'll answer myself because of time. It means access to the Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It is because of what Jesus has done, it's because of the death of Jesus, that we can go straight to the throne of the Father. Yeah? If you don't know that before, now you know, right? Talk to me now. Come on. Okay. Read that scripture again.
Verse 3. If he's offering a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish.
Let him offer a male without blemish. You know, the word offer in that scripture has 2 meanings. Number 1 is korban. Number 2 is ola for ola. Seriously, O-L-A-H. And then you have Koban, which is Q-A-P-A-N. I know it's funny now, but what I'm about to say will change everything. You know what Koban and Ola means? To come near. Ola means to ascend. So when we listen to this now, when we talk about the burnt offering, right? It is the offering of coming near. It is the offering of ascending. That's the first kind of offering. And we call this the fundamental offering. So now this is what happens. 2 stage. When you come to Christ, you will say things like, I give my life to Christ. Right? We will soon see now, talking about Eminem, we'll soon see what the Bible says is that when that offering is given, now you burn the body, but you don't burn the blood. What did he say the blood should do? He says, sprinkle the blood around the altar. Now, I'm thinking, why is there so much emphasis on blood as far as Christian is concerned? Then I realize that the same word for blood is the same word for soul. So he said, put on the body, but put the soul on the altar. But you see, what happens with Christians is that they don't want the body. And even the soul, they bring the blood to the altar, but they must sprinkle it. We'll soon get to that scripture. Is it in chapter 1? Verse 6. Please read.
And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into the pieces.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, no, verse 5.
Yes, ma'am.
He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar.
It is his soul. He needs the soul all around the altar. I'll soon tell you what the altar is. All around the altar, he's going to sprinkle the blood, but he's going to burn the body. So Christians' body still exists. That's why you get angry when you like to. Just wake up and say, it's time to get angry. Someone provoked me and I'm going to get angry. Please. Have you seen an animal that reacts to provocation? You can't. Why? It's burnt. It says, you see, until the body is burnt, the soul, which is the blood, is not acceptable. The body is going to go in order for the soul to be sprinkled around the altar. If the body does not go, no matter what sacrifice the body brings, you know, this is a God that is supposed to be killed and offered, but this God brings a grain offering. And God says, no, you're supposed to be dead. You say, I managed to stay alive. But I want you to take my offering. I'm sowing seed on faith. God says, no. Catch him. The angels run after the goat, but he escaped again. He said, I like your offering, but I don't need your offering. I need your blood sprinkled around the altar. So, it's very simple. Anna had been going to the altar in Shiloh for many years, right? And she was motivated by Penina, who has children, kids of her own. But she had none. And every year she goes, she's going to pray for God to give her a child. But this year, she's going to burn the body and sprinkle the soul. Sprinkle the blood on the altar. Spill the blood. And say, well, you know, I as Anna, I've got to die. But I will bring Samuel, whose blood will be tied to this altar. Then the prophet can come and say, I think this lady has struck a deal. What the prophet picked up was not how many people are not married in this church. Let's do a deliverance now. How many people are barren? You will use that to mislead people's life. And you realize that they will never rise to become something important before God. But the prophet knew that this person has finally struck the deal. You know, the ministers are millionaires. You're following this course. A day will come that you will strike a deal. And I know the day you strike the deal in the realm of the spirit, all the deals here will just open ways for you into the prophet. The reason why we're not yet striking major deals here, we've not struck the deal. So whilst we're walking in the realm of men, things were happening in the realm of the spirit. The goat was being taken. The goat was being slaughtered. And the blood is to be... So things are happening. But you see, I was attending meetings. When they will come, that I will strike the deal. Nobody will have to tell me, you're giving a month is one. I have struck a deal. It is a day that a conviction comes to my heart to say, I can lose anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me quickly show you this. Read verse 4, man.
Then Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him.
You see, in scriptures, right? It will take the goat. I'm feeling like eating goat meat, babe. If I stop this service, just the pastor's going to forgive me. Goat meat is amazing. Yeah? If an engineer can say, yeah, you have some at home too, yeah, because of goat meat. Yeah? Don't goat meat. Yeah. And I said, to go home, bring me some goat meat. You're here, uncle. Forget about the word. In scriptures, I want you to understand this is 50 pounds. I want to show you something. It will bring from his own herb. Who will hold this for me? It's a perfect gentleman, so it will only bless me with more. So never, never. You that they are calling out on Snapchat. Even I wanted to listen to this girl and say, ah, should I be careful? Because I think he's talking about another whoopee in some planet, not the one I know. It will take out of sweat, which God hates, out of the goat. It will lay ends on the goat. You see, the word lay ends. Do you know what the word lay ends mean? Wow. What? Transfer. It's part of it. Laying ends mean identifying with. I go to one of those funny churches and the strange pastor say, I'm going to lay hands on everybody. Say, oh, it's my mom that brought me there. The guy just identified. It's the same spirit. So, because what happens is that when they kill that goat is now the Tommy now. So, why do I give when I have nothing? This is money from poverty. So I take it. Come, Pastor Dennis. I take it and I lay hands on it. It becomes my poverty. Wow. And someone has money in their bank account and they think they are rich. No, you just kept your poverty with you tight. Please read that verse 4 again. Let's start from verse 1.
Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting.
So don't forget this. We've established that Leviticus is... He called him. Leviticus is servant, right?
Yes,
I'm still going to go into Paul. Why Paul, when he writes every of his epistle, he will say, I called a bond servant. Oh, the guy knows what he's talking about.
Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock.
You know why it is a livestock? It is active. So I can take this now, and it's life. Yeah, I can go buy goat meat with it, I can buy rice, I can buy whatever this can buy. Right, go on.
If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Mm-hmm. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting before okay. the Lord.
So we've got five offerings to talk about. There are those that don't go beyond the tabernacle. Have we got time today? Go on now.
Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering.
It will now lay his ends
on the head of the burnt offering.
On the head of the burnt offering. I'm taking hands on somebody here.
And it was
the burnt offering.
And it will
be accepted.
And it's good that the people put head there, they said.
And it will be
accepted. I don't think you understand how much. Is this making sense?
Yes.
I promise to pay the bearer on demand of the son, then boom comes the head of the one to whom you pay taxes. He will lay his hands on the head, yes, ma'am?
Of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him.
What makes that money burnt offering is because when it is offered, it is no longer active for me. It is dead. It was living. But now it's a, so that's why God never tries to ask you to give in plenty first. Because you see in plenty, it means you have stockpile. It is not living, even though it can be living, it's not living. It is living because it's needed. It's part of what they need to make in order to produce more goods. Are you still with me this morning? So instead, by the time we get to the fifth offering, you will realize that there are great offerings. Some are not living anymore. But it's that it calls, don't forget, this offering. This offering is called Kuban or Olah. To ascend, or the offering of coming near. Bring all your tithe to my storehouse that there may be food in my house, and use this to prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. To ascend first is to access the word. And so it tells me if I don't access the word, it is the word that caused me to come. You still didn't tie that up, did you? Leviticus chapter 1. Moses heard a calling. Leviticus 1. John was on the island of Patmos on the Lord's day, and I heard such a voice saying to me, come up here, the word. And if you can't access that, it's because there is no offering. Don't forget, first of Christ, there's no offering of to ascend. So we won't know what that means until Malachi tells us that if there is no giving, there cannot be food. If there's no food, there is no word. If there's no word, there is no come up here. And come up here can happen for everybody in the house, but the person doesn't hear it. And so, when people attack tithe, I said, for me, I don't care about tithe. Even those attacking it and those answering those attacking, they got no proportion to population. And so, now, he is going to take the goat, living stock, and lay hands upon it, transfer upon it, and identify with. When God receives your offering, don't go yet. When God receives your offering, you actually think it makes God richer. But with God, he accepts your poverty in order to destroy it. Read on, sister.
Verse 5.
Yeah.
He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle.
Why does this guy, read that again, sister. I wanted to get, but read it again.
He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar.
Never forget, this is the offering of his presence. It will bring it. It will kill it before the Lord. It doesn't take it back home. It doesn't say, only God knows what those churches do with money. That's not a killed animal. It will kill it before the Lord. Then the priest will do what?
Then the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood.
The sons of Aaron. That's where I'm going to start rounding up for this morning session. The sons of Aaron
shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar.
The job of the sons of Aaron, when we talk about ministers, their job is to process souls. Wow.
until they are tied to the altar. Are you hearing me, also, worship leaders? Your job is a life job. It is not, you're not in the business of a billionaire businessman. This is soul business. This is not just entrepreneurship. That's why, as a leader, when I say ministers are millionaires, I know what comes to earn is money. I'm talking about people who have souls in their pouch. For one soul is worth more than $1 million. Soul winners must know that they are authorities. There's no billionaire in the world that can mentor me. Doesn't know anything about souls. And so they are ministers, servants. They become both servants. And the reason why a minister will be rich or prosperous, both in souls and in finance, is because they are truly servants of a cause. These are not people taking opportunity to say, oh, by the time I get my feet, I'm just going to do this. God already knew. He knows what is in your mind, so you know you will get your feet, you will do some furniture, you will stand some furniture, but you're not going to break through. You're not going to change anything. You're going to disappear into oblivion. To prepare your ministers and leaders, and my ministers, I think most times people say, oh, he's talking to ministers, not pastor. So that's all ministers, not pastors. Oh, I'm dumb. I'm not just people that are ordained as well. Everyone who is a servant, everyone who serves like a servant. For them, Leviticus was written that you may know how to serve. It will read on.
Verse 6. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces.
It will skin the burnt offering, remove every hair from the burnt offering, and cut it into pieces so that what can happen?
The sons of Aaron and the priests shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire.
When you go to church and the wood does not pieces you, you have a fake pastor loser. The pastor is supposed to grab the goat, priests, pieces the body. The pastors that are afraid about how many people will come to church. This is the body until they are no longer offended. Because a pieces body cannot be offended. This is the body. This is it. I said I'm going to go look at what churches are saying. And I'm thinking this thing is not pieces in at all. Look at the member of the congregation, this one. She's going to her boyfriend's house after service. I would do the same if I was in that church. There's nothing going on. You're just telling me how to be a good man. And I know I don't want to be a good man. I want to be a bad man. That's what my own mind and the society is training me to be. So he said, you know what? Priests or ministers said, don't take the body and start washing it. You know that's what we do. We take the God's body and we wash. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that the, and that's when they get spiritual. So, oh. It's a priest grab the body sees it. Take the blood and let them. I don't need the body. He prepared the body for you. So that the body you now are in is only carrying Christ, because you neither have body nor soul, nor blood. So now, you know, okay, so now he identifies this as you. Then he's transferred everything. He's looked at his offer and said, yes, Lord, blah, 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 whatever. And then he pieces the body. Then the priest pieces the body. Then the sons of him, the sons of the pastor, the lead, their sons, carry the blood. That's what you're doing in your 742s. You carry the blood of pieces to people. Then you begin to sprinkle it on the altar. But, you know, please, this is the goat, this is the 50 pounds or whatever this is. You really know that the transfer is not like, let's pretend as if we are transferring something. Let's identify as if we are identifying something. You really know this is now a person. That's why the goat must die. Hollywood movie, right? It's gonna die, because the soul that sinneth must die. So now, this is me. It is dead, but I'm still here. Normally, humanly speaking, I'm here. So what now happens? It is no longer I would then live. So my body that walks around is now Christ who lives. Now, if we translate that to our finances, I'll give my seed, transfer my poverty on it, transfer me, because for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that he was rich. He had to become poor. So what you call rich must become poverty for you. I don't really hear what I'm saying this morning. Does giving make me poorer or richer? Poorer. Because I had 1K before, I've given now. And I don't have 1K anymore. So what I've given is that it's poverty, if his riches became my poverty must become his riches, which then makes me rich as him, not me. I said, I become rich, his riches. So now, when I had the 1K, my riches was me. I could go buy a shoe or a cloak, whatever. But now when I return, I don't return because I died. He returned. So the meetings I now attend, it's him. It is not me. It is now his riches. You can never now enter into that riches until he breaks you. Otherwise, I'll be keeping poverty and blood in my pouch. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Either. This to me is the mystery of giving. So, who is anointed to share all these words with you? It's not me. The guy, so I think Pastor mentioned something the other day which makes it even more clear. So, I was given the example about when God told me to give a suit. Now, you see, to somebody who don't care about those things, you're not particular about suits. You really don't care. You just put on anything, like gentlemen coming. You just put on anything. Or Bernie Sander. You just put on anything. So it doesn't matter to you if it is boot court or what else now. Or anything. So it doesn't matter to you. So it's not going to ask you for that. Even if if it is the only suit you have, it doesn't really bother you. So he won't ask you for that. So you know we can be quick to give things. Pastor called for 1,000 one month. Oh, of course. And that's fine. But it's still going somewhere. I just don't want my journey to be long. So, this becomes me because when from the day he got me born again, all he wants to do is to, I told you this before when we were teaching later part of Lancaster slash Evermore, he needs to evacuate me completely. So he said, from the goat, dry out the blood. Every blood must come out of the goat. Dry it out. Take all of it out. And don't take it anywhere. So he really doesn't need me. He just wants to walk on earth, but he needs something that looks like me. So, who is anointed to share all this? No, the guy who... So, now, he knows that... Now, if God tells me to give a suit, I'll gladly say, you want 20? If I have 20. It wouldn't mean anything because I think that realm is already mastered. He knows there is enough faith for me to give all my suit out tomorrow. And he knows that my faith is so strong that by Sunday someone will come with something. So that's not an issue anymore. A person that is still struggling with God with anger must say, Lord, you're going to bless me mightily as a millionaire. No, you'll be very poor, I guarantee you. It's not going to happen. I know you're taught, oh, it's the grace of God that will make it happen. Rubbish. It's not going to. It is the grace of God that will not make it happen. It won't happen because grace needs to protect you. So it does not need me to be a powerful, and I've got to be prayerful as a pastor and all those stuff as a Christian. But you see, as a pastor, when I enter into this office, it doesn't need my prayer life. You didn't hear me. It doesn't need my fasting life. It just needs my presence. I wish you heard that, you know. It doesn't need me to come and say, or to even say, wow, guys, the way the Holy Ghost moved last week, you don't know how much prayer. You don't know how I fasted. You don't know how I labored before the Lord. Pastor once told us I've labored before the Lord tonight will be powerful. Power time was just screaming. Nothing. Eventually, we just had to come to the aid and lay hands on his behalf. You've already spoiled the whole show. It is not your labor before the Lord that he needs. It needs your evacuation. You know, I told someone before, I said, you see, it doesn't seem as if life is working. I said, yeah, I said, your prayer life is too much. And I know that sounds blasphemous, but you will grow as a Christian and you will know. Your reliance is in how many hours you pray for. And then Satan will tell you, say, that's powerful. He said, yeah. It will sound like God. He said, tonight will be powerful. He said, yeah. I'm ready. Shake your knee. And at that point, God looks and said, we can't use this one. We cannot use him. We only need, and I refer you back to messages in everyone, we only need somebody to carry us. We only need a transportation. You read the scripture where Jesus said, sacrifices and burnt offering you didn't have interest in, but a body you prepare for me. The me was the one whose blood, you remember the blood, right? Yes, that blood will be shed on the altar. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So what is my money for? If you give money, you reap money. But you reap money by reaping what will make the money come. What will make the money come is according to your own call. Do you understand? It's according to your own call. So if I felt a fire burning in my hand, I needed that for the time. And the moment I started to preach on TV with that, it's like money just opened up. But it took sewing a suit at the time. Imagine I now wake up tomorrow and say, Lord, I want you to move mightily. Therefore, I will sew this suit. God is laughing. Say, your name is up. What's wrong with this guy? I know you can. And it's good to. You need to give yourself to a level where the least you get the other time, given will change from given to just benevolence. If you've given 1,005 years, but by now it should be benevolent given. One thing should be benevolent. That you won't even tell God, oh, I've sown. No, that's not sown then. If that did not happen, right? Guess what happened? When you evacuated and you sow from the bottom of your heart, the goat did not die. It wasn't cut in pieces. The same week that you saw, you still fought. The goat shake, but they woke up. I'm still here. Ah, you thought I was dead. You don't know me. Because I've been quiet and just quiet in church. You don't know me. I'm back. And what are we? What I will tell her, because it's the goat as I walk on again. All of a sudden, the goat starts using vitamin blood tonic again, and the goat gained blood. So, I'm now on my feet. You know what many people call when I settle down is the goat guy speaking. Because he has decided what he's settling down. He said, when I'm married, I've settled down. But say, that's when the goat will be standing. I don't want you to settle down yet. I will also settle down. He said, no, settling down means the goat is coming life. So he will lay hands on the goat. I'm gonna go into a prayer session shortly. He will lay hands on the goat. The goat will become him, and God will kill him. The priest will slaughter him on behalf of God. And when he slaughtered, so if your past given has not become benevolent, now it's no hard, the goat will die. The goat looks at the priest and says, who is this guy to try to be slaughtering me? A whole man. Do you know how many priests seek after my suya? It's unfortunate, but you'll understand it later. Do you know how many people are looking after looking for my spiced meat? You don't know. What fellowship? They say, who are the leaders? This also says, those ones. And when did she become born again? When did she read the Bible? When is this? Not knowing that your weakness, God wants to slaughter it under someone that is smaller. Someone that has worse manner than you. What's my business with Aaron's son's behavior? I said, Aaron, son, take a knife, kill me now. You go to a fellowship and say, the way these little people behave. I don't care about anyone's son's behavior. They will make their word to Leonardo and Abihu. That's their problem. But if God has commanded that the blood must be brought to the altar by Aaron's son, Lord, please, I don't care about the behavior of Aaron's son. Just give him a sharp knife because my meat can be very, very tough. Give him a sharp knife to cut me through and quickly extract the blood and take it to the altar. Because until then, we're not going to smell anything of prosperity. Let's say I would have even listened. I know that guy. It's Aaron's son now, my friend. And someone say, oh, yeah, yeah, they just ordain people anyhow. Well, are you God? Are you God? They said, well, it's just so church, they don't do it that way. I need God in that church. Hello, God. So I transfer upon this livestock all of who I am. What makes me? My monthly giving is a transfer of all I've been that month, including my anger. Just go into it. And slaughter it. I will dream of each month as new instead of referring to the time I died. Last 2 months I gave £200. You know, because you are accumulating the dead body. No. I don't need anything to happen. Just keep killing me. Until I'm cut into complete pieces and my blood is really on the altar. Oh God, I'm rushing. Thank you, sir. I seem to be rushing and I think I've got a strong time consciousness stuff right there. Lay hands on the animal. The priest shall sprinkle the blood. Now, let me hear verse 8 and 9. Let me see if that's the scripture I'm looking for.
Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn all...
He shall wash...
its entrails...
His entrails and what?
Its legs.
And the legs, right?
With water.
I think Jesus is going to wash the leg of some people one day with water, right? Yes.
And the priest shall burn...
But I'm coming to that. Maybe last session, maybe second, I don't know. But somebody's... And Jesus said to him, you know what, Peter? Peter said, no, my master will never wash me. The priest will wash. A millionaire and a minister will wash with water... the leg of some goats. Peter was a real goat. But even this guy that will be presented, his leg is going to be washed with water. I wish we had 3 days. I don't know why we didn't start this yesterday, though. Okay. Maybe yesterday, that. Oh, go on, man. Can't get into that now.
And the priest shall burn all the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord.
Would you please underline that sweet aroma? If you own your Bible, an offering made by fire, the smell of it, the sweet aroma, will, you know, God does not just inhale the sweet aroma. Actually, that smell, when it comes up to him, is what glorifies him. That sweet aroma. But you see, the sweet aroma, when a new believer comes to Christ, and when you're fellowshipping with Christ, it is that sweet aroma that you smell, the one someone else offered. I don't think you understand that here. When God smelt it, you did. You still don't get it? Okay. Ephesians chapter 5. from verse 1.
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
He gave himself an offering and a sacrifice
to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
So, tally those two scriptures together, and maybe we'll talk about it in the offering night tonight. Because I can't get into it now. I feel there should be break now. The same sweet aroma, I'm just trying to show you that there's no difference between Leviticus and Ephesians and the New Testament. Offerings are meant to bring sweet aromas. The sweeter the aroma that goes to God is, the sweeter our lives become. But someone has to sacrifice for the next and the next and the next and the next. If you ever see a place where there is quarrel and anger, nothing is sweet aroma. You see, just fighting that your sister or brother is a pollution to our spiritual environment. It is. Okay. Soothing aroma, another scripture calls it soothing aroma. So I said, burnt offering is a fundamental offering, basic. In fact, burnt offering is basic, it's a basic requirement for Hola or for Kaban. A life was burnt on the altar. I won't go into grain offering. Let me just stop with this and maybe we'll spend some 15 minutes in prayer. So I'll start getting ready to lead prayer. And we're going to have like 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever session. After prayer, I'll tell you how, when, what time we come back and stuff like that. Now, my takeaway from this first session is this: the importance of the book of Leviticus. I'm sure now you just want to stay in the auditorium and read through Leviticus. My takeaway also is that my living sacrifice is a transfer. No wonder the scripture we read, I think, on Monday, the Bible says that these guys, in the midst of their severe trials, severe, very severe. If you haven't listened to Monday and Tuesday, please go listen to it. What they did, what their offering did, was that they exchanged severe trial for exceeding joy. People keep their money in severe trial. You just kept your severe trial. You kept it there because the world informed you wrongly to say, if you can just gather more severe trial. So if you know how I got this money, it's hard. And so because of that, I'm going to keep that hard. I'm going to keep it and sit on it. Because it's no. My own yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what God says. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, but you've got to come and we've got to exchange yokes. Money is more of a yoke than a blessing. If you don't know about money, of course, it creates easy life, but what you call easy life sometimes, most times, is a yoke if it's not connected. Because then comes the burden of keeping. Then comes the burden of maintaining. The days when the bills used to be 2K is better than when the month ends, you've got to have 100K. So, my takeaway again is this. Every time I hold an offering of obedience in my hands, and I lay my hands on it, when your leaders come tonight and they lay hands on their giving for the month, what they are doing is collectively, everyone's severe trial, they're laying hands on it and exchanging it to say, when next so-so-so is going to work, it is no longer going to be hard. And when all offering increases, the word increases, because the word is your access into the Leviticus of our Christian life. Don't forget that Leviticus is what reestablishes theocracy. What is God's rulership over money? What does it say about it? Attend for the remainder of the day, of course, we've got other people that are going to speak, Reverend is going to speak. My attempt will be to really get to the middle of Leviticus, set an order to conclude for tonight, set an order for what we are supposed to be, what is our life as a church. Now, by the time tomorrow night is over, you're very clear about why your journey is like this. You're very certain about why we will go through the trials that we have to go through. Because Noah's going to build the ark. He cannot buy the ark. He's got to build it. Meaning day by day, wood after wood, mahogany after mahogany, he's going to build that ark. And when he's building it, the world's going to look from a distance and say, well, what's this guy doing? This is strange. This is not like, what? They've never seen an ark before. So I don't mind if people have never seen stagnation before. But don't come and tell me how to build if you have never been an architect of any ark. Because that would be wrong. You may be intruding in something that even I, as your pastor for now, even I cannot tell the Father how to build this ark. The only thing I know is that we've come this far because something just guides us. And I wish to tell you that's a dream when the Lord speaks to me. No, my heart just clicks to something and we do it. And then I find it in scriptures. He's the one building the ark. I don't know if you are one of those lifting the wood or taking the wood away. Because if we are leaders, we take the wood and the nails away, then it will take us longer time because we will have to go get another wood and another nail. So if I speak to you as ministers this afternoon, I'm saying to you that as ministers, that includes pastors, house fellowship leaders, treasurers, deacons or deaconesses, whatever. I'm saying to you that in order for us to walk in the million level of souls and of riches, we've got to be servants. We can't be servants by pretense. We've got to be servants at heart. Because it doesn't prosper anybody for just, you know, we've got to perish all this thing of I know God for myself. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's not true. Satan is tricking you. If that was the case, he would not give some to the pastors, apostles, these are the maturing of the saints, so that they can reproduce and reproduce. It is only in Christianity that people just have their own mind. But my mind about God and fellowship with him, and he knows me. But we are asking because the only way to know those who know God is that he said they will do exploit. And so don't blame me if I don't respect your so-called knowledge about God. I'm only saying that the only way I can know, I can't follow you to your bedroom. The only way I can know is, sister, this year, how many souls, man? What have you started that is shaking your area? Let's just put it at your area. Let's say you live in Nonhead. So don't just come to me and say, well, you know, Pastor, my God, I don't need to mimic you. I know God for myself. Yeah, I'm saying, well, how am I supposed to know that it's true? Even you, how are you supposed to know it's true? Then you must be able to show me and say, you know what, in Nonhead, I changed their crack house there to a fellowship center. Then I said, she knows God. So you're telling me you're not going because you lock your bedroom and you start shouting. And then you eat and then you have a dream. Then say, I know the Lord. You know. The Bible never said those who know the Lord, their God shall have dreams and shall shout in strange language behind closed doors. It said those who know the Lord, their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. You should tell one of the pastors that was in the church, the other time, you know, you're here and you have a big Bible and you pray a lot and you talk. But you see, in this Elifan and Kasu, this estate is one of the poorest estates in UK. In your house fellowship, I've never seen four young people saved. Four. Two. 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 So how do we? Because everybody can become an authority of their own just because they have the discipline to shut their closed doors. Those who know the Lord, their authority shall be strong and they shall do exploit. They will change a community. That's what you guys are doing in your various communities. That's what I call knowing God, because there's no point knowing God and nobody's life is changed. Then people will claim to know God and in your own year, this is November, they can't boast of 10 souls, 10, that's come to the Lord because of them. That's an insult on the Lord. That's why Christianity is powerless. You put those bunch of people together, you create a religion instead of a movement. So what is God asking me to tell you ministers, if we're going to work in the million pound level or souls level both, we're going to have to, our first attention will be to souls. Your job is to take the blood and bring it to the altar. And that starts by leading examples. That starts by self-denial. You can't just pick your bag and fly out. You can't do it. Let me be plain and clear with you. You can't just decide, this is what I'm going to do next. You are a servant. In fact, let me use it this way. You're just a servant. And whereas this is not a theocracy, and this is not democracy, it's still theocracy. I told one of your brothers and sisters, I said, I think I call it the law of consideration. When a leader just wants to vanish, do you ask about your followers? Do they mean anything to you, or it's just, I'm just going to go and relax for 3 weeks? Do you think about the four? Because you're just a servant. You're just a servant. And if we're dealing with blood and souls, and we think that an ISIS member who is bad and evil will need that kind of discipline, but as ministers, our discipline is not that necessary. Why? Because the way we see Jesus is like this funky guy roaming around in heaven who we can serve as we like. This is why our religion, so to speak, is powerless. This one, we don't have the force. Church of adults is worse. You see, adults don't know God at all. Adult Christians, not the ones in Spartanation, because you have to know God to be in Spartanation. Normal adult Christian outside, I'm telling you the truth. Don't let them bamboozle you with their Bible verses. They don't know God one inch. How do you know they don't know God? They don't care. It can't be all up or most. Now, if you set your life without the establishment in these things that I say, one will gradually grow to become like that. Because it will look as if God is not moving in one slide. There are people Satan has set up in your life that when it looks as if things are not working, they are there to speak to you and say, I told you, go down on all this Christian and church thing. God is not, they will say God is not wicked. God is not wicked, but yeah, I know God is not wicked, but I am wicked. It was wicked when I used to go to club and drink till I have hangover and went back there the next day. Ministers, God is calling us now, because I have a perception, and I'm sure about this, that we're going to enter, after trials, we're going to enter a dimension of wealth. Yeah. We will. But he needs to cut us, drain the blood, and the ministers must carry the blood with all diligence. You cannot not follow up on your flocks. because you are busy at work. You cannot not know who is winning souls and who is not winning souls. You cannot not know about their prayer life and their given life. This God must reach the altar. You cannot not know. You cannot not belong to a house fellowship. Anyway, there's nobody here that does it. You can't. There's no way. Definitely, if you are not, it may be because, I don't. But definitely, you don't belong to Spark Nation. Because that's what makes us a mission. You see, those small cell groups is where we know your evil and your good. So that we can now bring out a knife. And I told you, so in every house of worship, you have sons of Pastor, your sons of Aaron. And they are allowed to cut you. I've taught you that today. I don't care if a son of Aaron cut you. Oh, but he's not a holy guy. That's his problem with God. A fire will come from the throne to consume him eventually. But I'm even saying, Lord, before you kill Nadab and Abihu, let them cut me first. In case you will, it will be long before you find another replacement. I don't want to be on this queue for long. When we begin to pray this dimension, the more I study the word, I study these words and come to you with this revelation, because I also tell God things like, Lord, are you sure this thing works? Are you sure you have? Are you sure? And God begin, and God asked me, why are you asking me? I said, because I see Christians around. Their life most times is not worth a penny. They talk a lot, but nothing happens. He said, so don't compare yourself, just read the Bible. He said, but they read the Bible. He said, no, they don't. He said, look at my word. I set up an order for a nation. He said, show me those who follow those order. I'm not trying to tell you that the laws in Leviticus must be followed after Jesus died, because my own big little shallow-minded Christian said, he's teaching from Leviticus, but Jesus has died for us and it's all over. And I said, look at your life. Is that true? Is that true? No. They are the shadow. I didn't have time to get to the place where Paul was saying, since he suffered outside of the camp. Oh my God. Oh, tonight is going to be powerful. He said, because he suffered outside of the camp, he said, let us therefore also go outside of the camp. The reason why Hebrew wrote that scripture was that there were people being thrown out of the synagogue because they did not fit into the camp life and the life of camp. That's why that scripture is there, you know. He said, let us therefore also, he was talking about spiritual camp. He said, let us go outside of the camp too, because the goat that must die outside of the camp must not be in the camp. We're not going to experience any blessing in their camp. We're not going to have any movement in the camp. So I'm speaking again to leaders. I hope, and there's no, even I hope this Thursday afternoon for you to be in church, you've already made up your mind for something. Nobody needs to inspire you towards something, another thing, but I've got to come with a revelation to say, now, in building this nation, this is what God is calling us to. And in case you're here this afternoon and you're not completely caught, do you know why you don't go to house fellowship? Where were you? Where are you? Is either spiritual pride? Spiritual pride is also one of the things that tells you you don't need it. You sit in your house and you say, now pick up your Bible and do your study. You say, hallelujah. Son of the devil. He's tricking you. He's tricking you. He knows you are now obeying him gradually. Forsake not the gathering of one another, especially as you see the gifts coming. He said, don't forsake the gathering of one another. The Christian says, no, I'm at home. In other words, he replies that Bible verse, I do forsake the presence of one another. However, God, regardless of whatever you say, you've got to come here now. Does it make sense? What is our prayer going to be channeled towards? Again, don't mind if there is the name minister before your name or not. As long as you are a servant, servant doesn't question, and the house say, we need 100K, this one, servants go get it. They're like, oh yeah, well, I don't have, no. Servant will go get what their own part of that deal is. And that's what Apostle God has a sweet smelling aroma. And what does it do with that aroma? It puts aroma into the life of other people. That's what it does with what you give to him. I don't know what, well, maybe there are mixed messages in the world. And they say, well, I like your job because you give back to the people. I said, no. Cut the crap now. Offering is not to give back to people because you are destroying them. It's like the guy takes your goat, you transfer everything, you say, my poverty, everything is transferred. Then he calls you and say, hey, where I come and drink back the poverty. No, that's not what we are saying. I think the world, because they are always looking for validation and all this nonsense, they think, no, I said, what we're saying is that we give, when they give, we create more programs that win more souls. It's not the people that give that comes back to say, okay, now I have a business. Maybe I've been given 200 a month. Give me 5K and I'm entitled. Well, if I ever give you such a money, believe me, behind closed door, I said, my poverty, everything I transferred back to her. Take. I said, thank you, sir. But the business did not arrive to date. I've never had to do that. I'm just saying. Of course. So the church can be involved in business and raise money from that and give to people. But the giving is so that there may be food. But hey, you remember, I'm not just talking about money. The future you is in the present you. The billionaire you that you see is in the present you. What will become of my tomorrow is what I do now. So someone, Satan wants to tell you that you being in church and sowing all this seed is going to go in vain. It can never. There's no way. The only way it can go in vain is if it stops to do. I want us to pray. I told you there are five principles. The laws of vows and penalties is one of the things that establishes to me that I don't vow and not do. It is fool's idea. Some people have vows in the past that they don't do. And for some reason you feel, oh yeah, it's now over now, I'm now okay. You are not okay, you know. It's going to be a big problem. Those are the five laws. Upon the laws of vow and not do, English law creates its own law as well. On contracts. There are penalties for each contract. Are you ready to pray this afternoon?
Yes,
what I've done this morning is to welcome you to today. I told you there's going to be new stuff, but they are not new. They've always been in scriptures. Pastor, what do we then pray about from this kind of word? It's even difficult for me to tell you what to pray about. The Holy Spirit will just lead us into a season of prayer. But the thing is, as the word was coming out, there are things that stand out to you. I don't want you to waste today. I want you to soak into this atmosphere. And say, Lord, before the given time comes, I must be able to hear you clearly. Because I believe everything in the word. Every single thing. No hear doubt. I'm not even here fluking. Maybe this will work. No. It's the air I breathe. And if I'm not completely dead, it's about time. Now I know the areas in my life where I'm resisting God. Or where I'm not being holy. I don't want to be a common vessel. And I know you set up my life in an uncommon way. Yeah, so I'm not married. When my mates are married, it's only because I'm holy. I didn't say because I'm not committing for the kid. I said because I'm holy. So my mom, yes, I said, Kini, meaning what? I said, Mom, I said I'm a holy. Ah, he said, that's what has brainwashed you. I said, yeah, I am a holy. So what does that mean? You don't need to know. But you will know. Because, Mom, my holiness is what will get you out of trouble. I'm uncommon. That's what it means. So it's not a position of saying others are sinners. Are you not calling me a sinner? No. I'm saying we are not the same. I'm saying if we are the same, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
But don't you think somebody must rise in this family? Don't you think somebody must enter the billionaire status in this family? The families that enter, do they have three heads? So, is it married that will not make you be a billionaire? That's what I'm saying. I said, I don't know my journey. Was I not telling one of you yesterday? I think one of the guys in the car with me. I said, you see, what other people call lost. L-O-S-T. For those of you who are holy, it is called way. You know what I mean by that? If I've not been somewhere before, if nobody around me has been somewhere before, do you know that I will get to certain places and my mom can't say, my dad can't say, you know, oh, I know that place is better. No, they've not been there. So as far as they are concerned, it is lost, but it is way. So, since I've not been here before, I don't want anybody to tell me what is going on in your life. Have you been there? I use money because it's the easiest to use. I'm going to be a billionaire. Then a pastor who has never had millions comes to me and says, with the way you are using money, oh yeah, let me pray for you. Something is not right. It is called the spirit of, you know, these pastors, they meet and have meeting with different spirits. They had dinner yesterday with the spirit of retrospection. They have dinner with, they meet all these guys and they have dinner and they talk. Because they know it. No, sir, because you've not been there. It means if I get halfway, you may be confused. And it's going to be called is lost. But listen, because I know I follow Christ, I know I'm not lost. The fact that a location is strange does not mean I'm lost. The fact that you've not been to that location only means you're not going to the same direction.